Good morning. You know, for those of you who are visitors here, I want to encourage you. This is a church where they care. Because I remember when we came to Southern California, we lived in Pasadena, and we visited some churches and worked in some of the churches. It was difficult to find home. And the moment we came here, and my sign language is Doreen, the moment we left this church, she says, "We have found a home." That was our first time. So if this is your first time, this is home. And each time I come here, I feel complete. We can travel. We can go to Houston. You are sending us places. But when we come back here, we feel like we can let go. This is home. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us home. I pray that God, even as we encourage one another in your word, Lord, continue reminding us of who we are and what we are on about. Give us the grace, Lord, to encourage one another. Give us the grace, Lord, to dwell on the eternal things. May our focus be on you. We thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone said, "Live as though Christ is coming tonight, and plan as though he will never come in your lifetime." In other words, when you live as though he's coming tonight, you are focusing on Jesus. Perspective is very important. I want you to hear the words of Paul, just a little bit of a passage of what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to chapter 4, verses 1. Philippians chapter 3. I know you have gone through the book of Philippians, and each time I read the Old Testament, I read the New Testament, I come back to the book of Philippians, I go, this is it. Here's what Paul says in verse 20. It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we are eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies, so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." Perspective is so important. It determines how we see things and even how we see ourselves. Our perspective on life will determine our priorities in life. And so our perspective plays a very vital part in determining how we live. Where do we get this perspective? We get it from several sources. A lot of us, early life, our parents give us their perspective on life. They do this by what they say about life. But what they do tells us more about their perspective than what they say. So it's important the way you live as parents, because you are giving perspective to your children. Many of your ideas about life, people, circumstances, and what is right and wrong come from your parents. Our friends also influence us. And what happens with our friends, we get a certain perspective. Sometimes it clashes with our, parents' perspective. Our own experiences give us perspective. Our personal reflections on these experiences from the way we see life. People have all kinds of perspectives on life. The humanist sees life as revolving around mankind. In other words, we are the center of the universe. The materialist defines life in terms of his possessions. Things are important for this materialistic. The self-centered person sees himself as the center of the universe. He thinks or she thinks life owes him something because he's so wonderful. The hedonistic is similar in his attitude. His philosophy is that you need to grab for all the pleasure you can from this life. The atheist doesn't believe God exists, and the agnostic doesn't know whether God exists. What is your perspective on life? What is your perspective on people? What is your perspective on God? How do you see yourself as a Christian? These are important questions for us to have answers to. In the preceding verses in our text, Paul had been talking about those who set their mind on earthly things. Many people do just that. In fact, some would argue that most people are focused on earthly things rather than eternal things. I think that that is true, and the reason that I believe it is true because we find most of our conversations, be it Christians or non-Christians, is focused on earthly things. While they may believe as Christians that they will go to heaven when they die, their view of life is almost indistinguishable from a non-Christian. What happens when Christians adopt that perspective on life? If we do adopt a perspective which focuses exclusively on this life, we will soon find ourselves disillusioned with life. We will become discouraged. We may even despair. Why? Because this life will always come up short. It will never satisfy us. That's because it can't. We need more than this life has to offer. We need an eternal hope to keep us going when things get tough. And the good news is that we as Christians, we have a perspective. Let me share with you four reasons why we have this perspective. And we see Paul, bringing this, to our attention. The first one is that recognize that this world is not your home. I get the picture from, when we receive visitors in Zambia. Here is the way you can tell that this is not their home. They are tourists. They'll have their bag with their passport wherever they go. Have you noticed that? They don't want to drop their passport because they know that's not their home. They will be stuck. They want to go back to America. So each time you say, let's visit this place, the first thing is, they are so focused, it's their bag. Why are we not focused as Christians? We act as though we'll remain here forever. We need that bag. We need that salvation. We need to recognize that this world is not our home, so that wherever you go, people should be able to say, this one is a tourist. If they cannot distinguish that you are a tourist, you are in trouble. In other words, your perspective is earthly. Your neighbor should be able to say, I know. They've recognized that this world is not their home. The first thing we need to do is to recognize that this world is not our home. The Apostle Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. It trumps all citizenships in this world. What we have is temporary. There is one which is important, and that is heaven. The people to whom Paul was writing, the Philippians, lived in a city that had been made a part of the Roman Empire. And you can imagine the Philippians. They were proud of being the Roman Empire. Today in the world, to be frank with you, everyone wants to be a citizen of the United States of America. This is the empire today. Every Jim and Jack, wherever they are, they long to come to America and stay because they feel protected. They feel that they have freedom. That's the way the Philippians felt. Now the question is whether we see ourselves as citizens of heaven or earth. How do you see yourselves? Sadly, as I said before, many Christians are not focused on heaven, or too often our focus is on this life, becoming prosperous, which is a good thing, striving for success, which is a good thing, pursuing comfort, trying to fix up our lives. I'm not implying that, you know, these things are bad things, but what I'm saying is when we dwell on those things, we are focusing on the wrong things. As Christians, the hope of heaven should define our lives here on earth. Think about it. If heaven is your focus, it will define the way you live your life. We will spend eternity there. That thought ought to excite us. It's not about moving from one suburb to the other that you will find comfort. That's temporal, friends. We are just moving from one ash to the other ash, because there is the permanent. So we need to recognize that this is not our home. The second one, we remember that Jesus will come for you. Jesus will come for us. And Paul says in Philippians 3:20, says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need not to only recognize that this world is not our home. We also need to remember that Jesus will come for us. One day we'll be with Jesus, perhaps sooner than we think. No wonder we need to live as though he's coming tonight and plan as though he will never come in your lifetime. The Apostle Paul says that we eagerly await his return. In other words, those who love Jesus can't wait to see him face to face. Here's the way, you know, sometimes we are looking forward to Christmas. You can tell people who look forward to Christmas, because on 26th day of, you know, December, it's so miserable. You know, they are down. As if yesterday was not the birthday of Jesus. Why? No, it wasn't about Jesus. It was about their perspective on life. They were focusing on wrong things. Because if you focus on Jesus, 26th, you are excited. 30th December, you are excited. January 1st, you are excited. Don't become like me, January 1st, now I have new goals and, you know, now I'm going to the gym. You know, this year will be good. No, today is the day to remember that Jesus will come for me. Just think of what it means to be with Christ. Jesus said in John 14, I love the Gospel of John. John 14, he says, don't be troubled. You trust in God. Now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly, when everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you always be with me where I am. That is so comforting. He's coming back to get us. He's coming back for us. We are so special. He has been preparing that place for us. And I can assure you, we need to be comforted by those words. Don't let your heart be troubled. We are troubled by so many things. There are so many noises in our heads. If only we can start focusing on him. Because of everything that the Bible says about heaven, and because a lot of it is symbolic in nature, we really don't have a clear picture of exactly what heaven is like. You know, others will ask, are there going to be dogs in heaven? How about my beautiful horse? I have no answer. All I know is that we'll be with Christ. You know, here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That is heaven for us. We have no idea. We want to be blown away. You know, sometimes we are blown away by the Christmas tree. Wait for heaven. You will be blown away. We really don't have an idea of all that God has in store for us. But we know it will be good. The third point is that realize you will be eternally transformed. Paul says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Boy, do I wait for that. Because my body, there are all kinds of growth. Sometimes you wake up, there's something here. When are these things going to stop? I am eagerly waiting. I am eagerly waiting for the transformed body. A body which won't carry the weight of sin we have today. Not only should we recognize that this world is not our home, and not only must we remember that Jesus will come for us, but we must also realize that we will be eternally transformed. The transformation has already begun when we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The process of transformation that we call salvation started. It started internally. Sometimes we struggle with what we have in our hearts and what is going on around us and within our body. We will have bodies which will be everlasting. That means that we grow old and wear out. You know, these bodies, they suffer pain and get sick. One day they will quit functioning and die. That's just part of the package of being a tourist here on earth. But hold on to your passport. In order to enjoy heaven, we will need new bodies. We will need eternal bodies. We will need immortal bodies. And I can go on reading, you know, in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 of what Paul, you know, the way he's looking forward, eager for the new body. But one thing we know is that we will have new bodies. The fourth one is respond. Stand firm in your hope in Christ. Paul says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Recognize that this world is not your home. Remember that Jesus will come for you. Realize that you will be eternally transformed. And finally, respond by standing firm in your hope in Christ. In light of what is in store for us, we can stand firm in Christ. You see, this world is not all there is. There is so much more. You know, the people who put their hope in what this world can offer are always disappointed. You know, I like the scientists. They will come up with a box and say, this is the way the universe is. We have one galaxy with so many planets, and they are set and they write books and they base all their conclusion on that. And later on they are going, whoops, there are more galaxies. And by the way, there are billions of galaxies, if not trillions. Now they are wondering, is there life somewhere else? If only they can read the Bible, they'll have answers. But they've denied God. You could become the wealthiest person on earth and still not be satisfied. Money doesn't satisfy the deepest needs you have. It's like longing for a nice shirt or dress. And you say, if I can only have that. You know, the way people look at me, It will be so different than the moment you buy that, you put it on, and people are just passing you. They are not even commenting on your shirt. Oh, by the way, there are many shirts like that. You have just realized today, some got it 2 years ago. Possessions do not satisfy the most pressing needs we have. We can have all we can, but we have no joy. This world will never fill up the empty place we have in our hearts. Only Christ can do that. In this life, we experience both good and bad. We experience pain, suffering, struggles, trials, temptations, and tragedies. You know, talking of pain, I was talking to Steve. He says, no, you can give example for me. I'm in pain. He's in pain. He just had the surgery. But we pray for healing for him. Because he realizes this is a body. It will stay here. He's waiting for the new body. I can't wait for that. I woke up one day with a terrible headache the other night. And I said, oh my goodness. It's like my head is going away from me. But I realized, okay, these are the things we need to have here, but I have eternal perspective. Where I will have no headaches, no pain, never to grow old. I don't know at what stage, at what age you will rise or, you know, will go to heaven. No one knows, but what I know is that we'll have brand new bodies. We need a focus beyond this world. We need a hope that is strong enough to carry us through the tough times. These are the tough times. You know, like I said one day, you know, someone, you know, was in Zambia, a story of sharing to a village and say, oh, by the way, there is, you know, the world is going through this economic crisis. You know, people are losing jobs. It's just bad out there. And in a village's mind is, where is this thing which they call economic crisis? I want to know it. And you go, you know, people don't have jobs and everything. And they go, but that's the way life is. And that's the way life has been for us. So maybe they're thinking there's this animal which is called economic crisis or downturn. They have no idea. Their perspective is in the village. Just whatever you have on that day, praise the Lord. We need an eternal perspective to give us courage to stand firm, and we have that in our eternal hope in Christ. We are citizens of heaven. Christ is coming back for us. We will be transformed and live with him forever. If you are a Christian here today, hopefully we'll be seeing each other in heaven forever. You know, someone says, we know who is Mark Page or who is Moffat Zimba. I'm sure we should know so that we can hug one another and say, you've made it. Hallelujah. You know, we don't want strangers amongst ourselves, but I know we know each other. We must be focused. This brings us back to where we began. What is your focus? What is your perspective on life? Do you live on this earth in light of heaven? Do you see yourself as a citizen of heaven? Do you identify with Christ and his purposes? Or are you focused on this life only? Your perspective will determine how you live. It will also determine the level of your satisfaction with life. If we keep our eyes focused on the fact that this world is not all there is and that we are just tourists, we are going back home, then we'll have a better perspective. We will live for eternity, not merely for the here and now. Christ's kingdom will be what is important. We will live on earth as those who have an allegiance to a higher kingdom, as indeed we do. we will live boldly for Christ. Yes, we have an eternal perspective. I want to thank you. Thank you for that perspective you have, that you can help other people to come to Christ. And that's what you are doing, you know, for us in Zambia. Because of your prayers, because of your perspective, you are giving smiles on many of our people. They have hope. But we are not just giving them education at Northrise. We are giving them the hope I'm talking about, which is in Christ. So that when they get that education, their perspective will be very different. Friends, we have a hope that keeps us going. It is the hope of heaven. It is the blessed hope of our Lord's return. We pledge our lives to live for him and him alone. And we'll hold on to our bag with where our passport is, because we know we are tourists here. We are going back home. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for the hope which you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for everything which you have continued reminding us that within us you have planted a seed. There is hope. Lord, there are eyes of eternal life. We look to you for everything. I pray for my friends here that, God, you continue being with them. Father, may they continue having this perspective you have given them, to be focused on you. We thank you. And Lord, may we continue worshiping you this day. May we continue, Lord, upholding your name and honoring you, because you are the reason we live. We thank you. As we prepare and plan to celebrate the birthday of our eternal Savior, I pray that may your message trump even the day. May you be the Christ today and forever in our lives. God before us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.